get a better release, everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM. Everybody would hear us.
WMFO Medford, you're on the town with Mikey D. Happens here each and every Wednesday from 9 p.m. to midnight, giving you the best that the local music scene has to offer. We are pre-recorded because Tufts is still down for the count. We hope to be there soon. But for the meantime, you can check us out on the Facebook at On the Town with Mikey D. And we've got a great show. We've got music segments from Andrew, Lils, Pat, a concert report from Suze, Angel Wood has your Boston Emissions Songs of the Week, and an archive performance of The Pills from 2002. And we're going to get things started right at the top of the show with Jason Lane and a special edition of
Hip Hop Hooray! Hey! Hey!
On 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford.
This is Jamal. Jamal is a boy who lives in a poor neighborhood. He has a friend named Kevin, who lives in a wealthy neighborhood. All of Jamal's neighbors are African-American, and all of Kevin's neighbors are white. Because Jamal's school district is mostly funded by property taxes, his school is not very well funded. His classrooms are overcrowded, his teachers are underpaid, and he doesn't have access to high-quality tutors or extracurricular activities. Kevin's school district is also funded by property taxes, so his school is very well funded. His classrooms are never crowded, his teachers are very well paid, and he has access to high-quality tutors and lots of extracurricular activities. Kevin and Jamal live only a few streets away from each other. So how come they're growing up in such different worlds with such different opportunities for success? The answer has to do with America's history of systemic racism. To understand it better, let's look at what life was like for Kevin and Jamal's grandparents. Decades after the Civil War, many government agencies started to draw maps dividing cities into sections that were either desirable or undesirable for investment. This practice was called redlining, and it usually blocked off entire black neighborhoods from access to private and public investment. Banks and insurance companies used these maps for decades to deny black people loans and other services based purely on race. Historically speaking, owning a home and getting a college education is the easiest way for an American family to build wealth. But when Jamal's grandparents wanted to buy a house, the banks refused because they lived in a neighborhood that was redlined. So Jamal's grandparents were not able to buy a home, and because colleges could prevent them from attending through legal segregation, their options for higher education were really scarce. Kevin's grandparents, on the other hand, got a low-interest loan to buy their first house and got accepted into a handful of top universities, which traditionally only accepted white students. This opened up a wealth of opportunities that they were able to pass on to their kids and grandkids. Even as late as the 1980s, an investigation into the Atlanta real estate market showed that banks were more willing to lend to low-income white families than to middle or upper-income African-American families. As a result, today, for every $100 of wealth held by a white family, black families have $5.04. A 2017 study confirms that redlining is still affecting home values in major cities like Chicago today. This explains how Kevin and Jamal inherited vastly different circumstances. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. A big part of systemic racism is implicit bias. These are prejudices in society that people are not aware that they have. Let's go back to Kevin and Jamal. Against all odds, Jamal manages to be the only student from his high school to get accepted into a great university, the same one that Kevin and his high school friends are attending. But after Kevin and Jamal both graduate, Jamal notices that his resume isn't drawing as much interest as Kevin's, even though they graduated from the same program with the exact same GPA. Unfortunately for Jamal, studies show that resumes with white-sounding names get twice as many callbacks as identical resumes with black-sounding names. Implicit bias is one of the reasons why the black unemployment rate is twice the rate of white unemployment, even among college graduates today. You can see evidence of systemic racism in every area of life. The disparities in family wealth, incarceration rates, political representation, and education are all examples of systemic racism. Unfortunately, the biggest challenge with systemic racism is that there's no single person or entity responsible for it, which makes it very hard to solve. So what can you do? The first thing you can do is work towards becoming more aware of your own implicit biases. What are some prejudices that you might hold that you're not aware of? Second, let's acknowledge that the consequences of slavery and Jim Crow laws are still affecting access to opportunity today. As a result, we should support systemic changes that create more equal opportunities for everyone. Increasing public school funding and making it independent from property taxes would be a great start, so that poor and wealthy districts can receive equal access to resources. Systemic problems require systemic solutions. Luckily, we're all part of the system, which means that we all have a role to play in making it better. Peace. Hip-hop. Hey! 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 Like
Town with Mikey D, Jason Lane with you. Usually I focus on all hip-hop, but change is in the air and we need to have a discussion about what's going on in the world. That was the voice of Frank Lynch. He was murdered by the Boston police in 1970 for snapping a towel at an officer. His arm was in the sling, pretty much tied behind his back, and jokingly snapped the towel at this officer. Because he's angry, you know, he's probably the butt of racist jokes and hate crimes and, you know, throwing rocks through his window and all this stuff. So, in response, the officer shoots and kills the man you just heard singing because he was embarrassed. And a Boston judge okayed it. They acquitted him. They said he had every right to do it because he was guarding a prisoner. And it was humiliating for him. And a jury of 12 white people unanimously voted, acquitted him. And, you know, that's a story I want to tell today. I'd like to thank Carly Carioli. He's the former editor of the Boston Phoenix and Boston Magazine for tweeting that. If you want to check out the full story on Frank Lynch, please go to @CarlyCarioli. On Twitter. Basically, the slaying 130 staff doctors demanded ban on guns in city hospitals, even for cops. Ted Kennedy and Edward Brooke, the first black man elected U.S. Senate, called for the FBI to investigate. Nothing. Just an acquittal. The black community had a mock trial after that, and it gained a lot of traction in national media. They were called the United Front, the city and country. If they wouldn't bring charges to this Walter Duggan for shooting that beautiful voice, the man you just heard singing, dead. If they wouldn't bring charges against this guy, then the black community is going to put him on trial. And that's exactly what they did. They had a mock trial. 800 people showed up. It was the first time Boston's black community convened on its own independent forum for justice. Now you see why I'm telling the story. It's because the same thing's happening again, and it's happened millions of times. And I wish that I was over-exaggerating in the last 5 decades. Your voice is important. Your body showing up at a protest is important right now. This black community also took 10,000 posters with Duggan's name, the man who shot Frank Lynch, the gentleman you just heard singing that soul song. With his face, his address, and his name, and it just said, this man is a killer. And despite them getting the crap beat out of them and threatened and shot and having rocks through their windows, break in and assault, they just kept putting those posters up over and over again. People's windows getting shot out in the middle of the night. Walter Duggan remained in the Boston police force until 2003. This is the kicker. I think this hurts more than anything to read this part of the story that Carly wrote. In the 1980s, after the court-ordered desegregation of Boston schools, the BPD formed the Community Disorders Unit, which was basically like a hate crime unit, civil rights division. It worked for a while. Hate crimes, a lot of them groups of white men, shockingly beating up black and Asian men in Southie. The residents of Southie were like, I'm sick of my son getting locked up for nothing, beating up some black kids, whatever. And they all lobbied to have the CDU, this Community Disorders Unit, dismantled, and they won. In 2003, the Globe ran a long investigative story how the CDU had been, like, just ravaged to the point where, here's the kicker, Walter Duggan was the assistant commander of the unit, charged with enforcing civil rights abuses against the black community. It's ridiculous. This stuff has to stop. Everybody, no matter what your age, your color, your sexual orientation, your religion. You guys have to be for basic human rights and just human dignity. We cannot be talking about killing people just because of the color of their skin anymore. You got to use your voice. Put those flyers up. Have that mock trial. We'd like to thank Eli Paperboy Reed for telling Carly Carioli that story, because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be talking about it right now. And in the words of Carly, if you're protesting this week, thank you. I share the sentiment myself. You're making history. As journalists, I am as well. We need to spend less time covering protests like sports and more time placing this moment in the context of decades of community resistance to regimes of systematic white supremacy. Couldn't have put it any better. Our president's a white supremacist. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Say my name, George Floyd. Say my name, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Philando Castile, Breonna Taylor, Justin Howell, Sean Monterosa, Jamel Floyd. Just keep saying their names. Say them out loud. Put them on signs and hang them in your window. Black lives matter. It's time to wake up. For more on the history of the Boston Police Department's record of killing unarmed black men, Carly Carioli recommends Lawrence's landmark book, Deadly Force, in which BPD in 1975 shot an innocent black man and then planted a gun on him to try and frame him. That's the stuff of just freaky movies to people who don't live with this constant fear of being killed and shot. You have, as listeners and citizens, have the ability to use your voice for change. And you have the ability to vote for people who can help make this change, help this wave, just this rogue wave, just take out all this hate. Black lives matter. Vote for your life. My name's Jason Lane. It's On the Town with Mikey D. Hip Hop Hooray is the show. And I leave you with this really, really strong message from Roxbury native Guru. You might have known him from Gangstar. Everybody's like, oh, Guru's from Massachusetts? I'm like, yeah, Roxbury. He just went to school. Actually, he went to college in Georgia and then went to Fashion Institute of Technology for grad school. The more you know, right? Just keep tweeting the stories, keep retweeting the stories that are eye-opening. You know, post Black Lives Matter information on who to donate to. Like, I'm a big proponent of donating to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Just make it happen, guys. Be part of change, permanent change. We have it in us. I leave you with Guru, Roxbury native, lift your fist. Enough said there.
Yeah. Guru. The roots. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Lift your fist. Yeah, lift your fist. Come on.
To all my people, just lift your fist. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the micro shit? Either way, you got to lift your fist. We get it down like this. To all my people, ball up your fist. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the micro shit? Either way, you got to lift your fist. Yeah, we living life close to the edge, don't push. But this ain't 83 and it's not the cold crush. It's kids on the street strapped, huffing that crush. They eyeing the next cat, living on crush. I guess frustration make a brother do what he must. What's the combination that can make it human erupt? Team leaders getting mutinied up who couldn't read the signs, thinking the day saying time's tie.
Indeed, we last, refuse to kiss ass, quick, fast, ready to mash because of a bugged out past. Swallow the pain, follow the mental terrain. It takes a hell of a man nowadays to maintain garments bloodstained, face bruised and battered. Eyes reflect agony of dreams that were shattered, and they love it when we wild out and kill our home. But the greater responsibility, yes, is still our home.
So all my people just lift your fist. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the micro shit? Either way, you got to lift your fist. We get it down like this. You all my people ball up your fist. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the micro shit? Either way, you got to lift your fist.
Worldwide famine. Ghetto people demanding that somebody do something soon. And let's examine the facts behind the violent attacks, behind the daily gunplay, the cocaine and the crack. Thug season, what's the reason for the treason? Everybody's gotta eat, some gotta resort to thieving. Take money, money, make money, money, money.
To all my people, just lift your fists. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the microchip? Either way, you got to lift your fists. We get it down like this. To all my people's, ball up your fists. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the microchip? Either way, you got to lift your fists. Yeah, from the time they eyes open to the clock strikes death, brothers in stress. Walk around holding their chest. Got the government surveying their steps and can't breathe. They dynamite and projects to smithereen. Money coming, but the days too few and far between. You trying to taste just what the world's offering. Y'all mean, I seen enough to make a grown man scream. Brothers thirsty and hungry to get that thing.
Too many tears of pain, too many years of struggle. Too many drops of blood, too many problems to juggle. Too few jobs available, too few schools equipped, too few role models. Just gangsters and pimps. Will you succumb? Will your heart grown up? Or will you save the world and use your mind like a gun? I'm the one. I turn a stick-up kid to a soldier. Me and the roots, word up, we take it over.
To all my people, just lift your fist. Seem like it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? From the bullet or the microchip? Either way, you got to lift your fist. We get it down like this. To all my people, just ball your fist. Word up, it ain't no peace, no justice. How you want it? The bullet or the microchip? To all my people, just lift your fist. How you want it? It's no peace, no justice. From the bullet, or even from the microchip. Either way, you got to lift your fist. We get it down like this. For real, lift your fist. Come on, my people, yo, it ain't no justice. Kick it.
Yeah. 91.5 FM, WMFO. You are tuned in to On the Town with Mikey D, Boston's premier local music program. Coming at you pre-recorded all the way from the old factory in Ayer, Massachusetts. This is Patrick bringing you another block of local tunes. We're going to go ahead and kick off tonight's block with a tune from the band Mint Green. And this track is called June 2nd. Again, this is Mint Green with a track called June 2nd. Once again, you are tuned into On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM.
Makes me angry, I can't think about
WMFO Medford.
91.5 FM, WMFO. You are tuned in to On the Town with Mikey D. And you just heard a track from Gish called The Stitcher off of her 2019 EP of the same name. Before that was a track from Miele called We Don't Care. And then kicking off that block, of course, was June 2nd from the band Mint Green off of their record Headspace that came out last year. So this next track coming up comes from a group called Christians and Lions. This is actually off an album that came out last year called Young Familiar. I believe this was actually their first release since 2006, if I read that correctly. Either way, it was a long anticipated release, and this was one of my favorite tracks off that record. It is called Is Two As Are Two. Interesting title. Also coming up on this block is a brand new track from Jason Lane's band Drab, and it is called Well, I Wanna Die. I feel that. And that's going to be off their record Why Don't Women Like Me? Another great title coming out later this year. Proceeds from that album will be going to the NAACP and other Black Lives Matter causes. But back to the music. This is Christians and Lions with a song called Is Two As Are Two. Once again, you are tuned into On the Town with Mikey D.
Center. a social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is DJ Andrew Wilson. I'm going to do a set for you, and we're going to start off with Chevy Heston.
I'm so glad. eat something first. No, thanks. Food makes me sick. A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die. When?
WMFO Medford.